This week, PBS will broadcast a two-part series based on the Gormenghast trilogy by British writer and artist Mervyn Peake. It's the story of the 77th Earl of Gormenghast, Titus Groan, and the series opens when he is born.
It's a boy!
It's also the story of Steerpike, a malevolent kitchen boy who desires power. Peake created a grotesque, surreal fantasy on the pages of his books with words, but he was also an artist and well known for his illustrations for such children's classics as Alice in Wonderland. But he did not illustrate the Gormenghast books. Andy Wilson directed the television series and says he looked to both the artist and the writer for inspiration.
He did do some illustrations for the characters in Gormenghast, which still belong to his son Fabian, his son the painter. And it did actually influence me quite dramatically. For example, there's a drawing which I saw the original of Lady Groan. Groan is the name of the family, the royal family. And if you read the book, Lady Groan comes across as a very hard, very cold, very monumental, very sort of almost stone-like character.
We'll go for a walk. 15 minutes on the lawn. Master Chalk could do with the air, can't you, dear?
Celia Imrie plays Lady Groan, and you've added weight to her because she is not that fat in person, but you've given her this Titian hair and surrounded her with the white cats that I know comes from the text of Titus Groan when Mervyn Peake is describing the room that she inhabits, and it is a carpet of white cats.
A sea of white cats, yeah, which we couldn't do, but we did actually manage to duplicate 10 beautiful white cats so they look like hundreds in the cat room.
This cat room.
Who's all this, sir?
Ladyship. See. Ladyship, room.
The visual look of this series has to be at least as good as the fantasy world that Peake does create on the page. It resembles a painting. There was a moment when Steerpike, the malevolent power monger, is writing, and we're looking at him through a door. I think the two sisters, the two aunts, the two crazy sisters see him. It looks like Vermeer. There's a scene where the king is surrounded by members of his court and the hallway, and it looks like a Maxfield parish.
Well, you're quite right. I mean, we went to painters for the visual inspiration. I suppose for art fans, it's a sort of spot the artist game in it. I read the books when I was 15, and I couldn't remember how I thought it looked in my mind's eye. So I started to look around at art. There was a fantastic exhibition on at the Tate of Max Ernst paintings. There was a sequence of little paintings which people can find in Max Ernst books called The City and The Entire City, which shows a city sitting atop a hill. And it's, for me, the colour and the texture and the fact that it was Max Ernst, a mid-20th century surrealist painter, that triggered it off. And I suddenly remembered from that image how I thought it looked. So when it came to talking to Christopher Hobbs, the designer who himself is a painter, we talked almost exclusively about art, and we decided that it should look like a catalogue of 20th century art, if you like.
H.P. Lovecraft's yardstick for success in fantasy was something that he called awed listening, which...
That's very good.
It is. I think it's right. You have to be reading with your mouth open. The series is true to that, not only in the visuals, like our jaw drops when we see Steerpike and the two sisters on a branch framed by a huge full moon. There is also that sense of the odd, the story that's being told here of a kingdom where everything is so regimented. and you read a little bit about Mervyn Peake's life and you realize the Second World War in Britain and what he might have felt about the monarchy. And so in order to maintain that story, most important, you have to rely not only on your script, but certainly on your actors. Did you have a overriding conceit to how you wanted these actors to approach their roles? Did you say, this is, you are real people in a fantasy world, or you are fantasy people in a real world?
There's a flippant answer and a serious answer. I'll start with the flippant answer. I don't know if you've heard of a British TV program called Doctor Who.
Oh, yes, with the phone booth, right?
Yes.
The fantasy guy.
And the robots called the Daleks, which look like little salt cellars.
Yes.
Well, this was a sort of TV program in the 70s, I guess it finished. Yeah. But all the people who played Doctor Who were very good classical actors. And I said at the read-through of the scripts of Gormenghast with all this starry cast assembled, I said, now, listen, chaps, what I will want you to be doing is Doctor Who acting. I mean, you will be in sets that aren't real. You will be surrounded by CG cats. You will have
computer-generated
images through the windows. You won't see half of what you're acting to, but you have to believe it completely as though you were Doctor Who pointing into the distance at these salt cellars and saying, here come the Daleks. And I suppose the serious answer is that in fantasy, characters, if they work, are usually iconic. You know, they're not very difficult to understand. Like, for example, in Alice in Wonderland, the White Rabbit is an icon of lateness because he's become very famous in that role. Like, for example, Warren Mitchell, who plays Barkentine, the chancellor of the whole place, who has to run the rituals in the whole place. He's the angriest man in the world. Because if you had to keep all the rituals of an enormous place like Gormenghast going for the 9,000th year, you'd be the angriest man in the world, you know.
Take us! Oh. Oh. Bring him in now, you idiot!
Idiot?
Oh. Here, here, over here! Oh. Here! There! Oh. Over there, by his lordship! This is a naming woman, not a tea dance!
What is the serious commentary that's being made here? Is it a serious commentary on the world of 1946 in which the first book, Titus Groan, was written? Or are you saying something about the contemporary royal family here?
I think it's both. I think the power of a great story is that it works for all age groups at all times throughout history. If you had read Gormenghast immediately post-war, you would have thought immediately, aha, Steerpike is either Lenin or Mussolini or Hitler or whatever, a demagogue. Reading it now, it was very interesting that some of the critics here compared Gormenghast to the labyrinthine ways of the Houses of Parliament and the leaders of the political parties. So clearly, the story works in more than one way. And if you're a child, like I have a 10-year-old daughter who watched the whole serial and loved it from the fairy tale point of view. I mean, she followed the love story, she loved the cats, she loved the strangeness of the whole thing, but obviously wasn't thinking about Hitler, Mussolini or William Hague.
A search on the World Wide Web doing Mervyn Peake and Gormenghast, I swear I turned out thousands.
Oh, there's thousands, 20-odd thousand.
And yes, and you know that the audience for fantasy is a very demanding one.
Well, I'm one of them. All my favourite films are fantasy films. My favourite film directors have all made science fiction and fantasy. Gilliam is my great hero. Terry Gilliam is my great hero. I love Stanley Kubrick's films. I think that his films are generally, usually fantasies. I love Alien. I love Blade Runner. I love... I'm a big Star Wars fan. I could go on, The X-Files, whatever. And I wanted to make Gormenghast for all the years that I was developing it and trying to get it off the ground, simply because I wanted to make that kind of film. So I hope that it will completely satisfy the fantasy fans. It certainly did here. And there are, in fact, clubs here now where people dress up as the characters and go to a disco and dance with each other. So I'm desperately hoping that that will catch on in America, of course, and that I'll be invited in some years' time to these conventions like they have for Star Wars, where they're going to sort of idolize me. That would be wonderful.
Oh, thanks a lot. Andy Wilson is the director of Gormenghast. The two-part series based on the trilogy by Mervyn Peake will air this week on PBS. Andy Wilson, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.